across the road.
No. There.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you.
Oh, cause he...
Fred and Pastor Nathan and Pastor Bruce will lead you through the service this morning. You're probably no doubt wondering why there was watermelon in the foyer and why there are pictures of food getting circulated. And this Sunday, we're going to explore what God is as a foodie and how we can understand God deeper through food. So I pass it over to you as we begin worship this morning.
Let's stand together. Hear these words. Psalm 115, not to us, Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness. And all God's people said, amen. Let's sing together. Ready? One, two, three, four.
Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name. Glory.
The cross
before me, the world behind, no turning back, raise the banner high. It's all for you. Let the heavens shake and split the sky. Let the people clap their hands and cry. It's not for us. It's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. To your name be the glory. Our hearts unfold before your throne, the only place for those who know. It's not for us, it's all for you. Send your holy fire on this offering. Let our worship burn for the world to see. It's not for us, it's all for you. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. The earth. The earth is shaking, the mountain shouting, it's all for you. The waves are crashing, the sun is raging, it's all for you. The universe is spinning and singing, it's all for you. The children dancing, dancing, dancing. It's all for you, it's all for you, our all for you, it's all for you.
Let's try a clap this morning.
not to us, but to your name be the glory. Sing that out. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. One more time now. Not to us, but to your name be the glory. Oh, not to us, but to your name be the glory.
Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Hear these words from Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise. For the Lord is a great God and a great King, a King above all other kings and gods. So as we worship this morning with some people who are a bit new to worship leading, we're apprenticing them. We were just praying this morning. We're asking the Lord as we lift up his name. We're asking as we lift up the Lord's name together as a congregation that we would taste and see that he is good. So let's sing together.
You are here, moving in our midst. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, working in this place. I worship you. I worship you.
all God's people said, amen. You can be seated.
Wow. Psalm 62 says, my soul rests in God alone. My salvation comes from him. He's my rock. He's my salvation. He's my fortress. I will not be shaken. That's why we've come here today. That's why we've worshiped together. So welcome. Welcome to New Life Church. So glad you're here. And if you're watching us online, welcome as well. And I want to encourage you to let us know you're here. So sign in or just make an account, sign in, and maybe type in where you're watching from. And we're so glad to have you with us as well. So, welcome. This is an exciting Sunday, and I hope you've come with enthusiasm and an anticipation to meet with God. We want to extend a welcome as well to our children, and I want to make sure that they're a part of this service. So, children, welcome. Feel free to move around a little, and we've got flags, so in the next song, you can come on up and wave a flag or so in the songs that we sing. There are also sheets in the treasure chest there, and during the service, you can come on up, grab a sheet, and then while you're sitting with your family, you can work on that worksheet as well. If you have children with you, newborn to 3 years old at any time, if you want to bring them downstairs, we have people in the nursery taking care, making sure that they stay safe and so on, and have some fun together down there as well. And so you can feel free to do that. Throughout this year, we have been concentrating on serving and extending an arm of love and compassion to the broader community. This month, in the month of August, we said, hey, let's focus on our immediate community. And so this past week, we spent some time in Park Days, Superhero Park Days. We held that on Monday through Thursday from 10 o'clock till 12 noon. And it was just a great time to gather together, to meet some new folks around the community. And so next week, you'll be able to see some of the highlights with that. And thank you for participating. Thank you for raising that up in prayer. And we hope that blesses the community as well. Switch Life is our youth program. And at the beginning of September, the first weekend in September, there is a Reactivate conference. That'll be a great opportunity for you if you are in grade 8, 9, 10, 11, or 12 to give your faith life a kickstart, perhaps. So if you're on our mailing list for Switch Life, for our youth programming, then look for an email coming up with details about that. If you're not on our email list, then just contact the office, maybe email them at office@newlifecrc.ca, and we'll send you the details for that. I hope you take the opportunity to sign up for that. Should be fun. Reactivate conference happening September 10, 11, and 12. We want to spend this next time as we worship God with an offering. And the offering this morning is for the Benevolent Fund. The Benevolent Fund is a fund that is administered by appointed leaders of our congregation, the deacons, to extend a hand of mercy, love, and compassion to people in need. It might be because of shortage of income. It might be because of crisis in their life. It might be because some other physical help that they need. And so we want to be there. We want to meet people where they're at. And so that's an opportunity for us to extend our hand of love to them. And so you may wish to give today for that to the Benevolent Fund. During the next song, if you want to just come forward and drop your offering in the designated box, there's one on the table there. There's one on the stage right by the camera there. And just feel free to come on up during the song, Drop your offering in there. Otherwise, you also have opportunity to give electronically, and the slide behind me shows you how to do that. So let's come together in prayer. We want to worship God even with this offering. So before we do, I also want to mention we've got some pretty cool stuff happening on staff. Next weekend, our office administrator, Taylor Cheese, is getting married to Jacob Visser, and so we want to lift them up in prayer for a blessing as well. And this past week, our technical director, Sam Visser, got engaged to Tyler Postma, and yeah, it's exciting. Makes me envious of how old I am. Let's pray together. Almighty God, we praise you. You are a good God. You've been faithful to us in this past week, and we rejoice in your presence in our lives. God, maybe we've spent time ignoring you or just not paying attention, and so use this time, God, to awaken us to your presence in our lives, to startle us to our desperate need for you to give us life. Thank you for all that you provide. And so as we give an offering of thanks, Father, we pray that you will bless this offering for the Benevolent Fund. And as a church, God, we want to spread your love. We want to spread your compassion. We want to extend your amazing provisions for us into the hands of others who are in need. And so, God, may it be to your honor and to your glory. God, I pray that you will be with each person that attends here today, whether here in person or online. I pray, God, that you'll reveal yourself to us, that you will reveal yourself to us as the great provider and as the savior of our lives. Watch over us, we pray, as we go into a new week. We pray that as we go about our daily activities, that we'll bring honor and glory to you. We lift up especially Taylor Cheese and Jacob Visser. Pray that you'll bless them as they anticipate their wedding next weekend. We pray for Sam and Tyler. And God, we praise you for your goodness and your faithfulness to them, and for this exciting event in their lives as well. So God, bless us as we gather around your word, and may you reveal yourself to us in wonderful and powerful ways. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Feel free to stand with us and sing.
Humbly I come to you, for I know you satisfy.
Broken, I run to you for you. Well, good morning, everybody. That's a bit of an echo. My name is Pastor Bruce Gritter, and I did not get engaged this week, because that would be a scandal, of course. But I'm very happy for, of course, I know the girls quite well. So good on you guys. You know, this is the first time I've been able to preach live for probably a year and a half, so I hope you're not busy for the rest of the day, because, you know, once you get your preach on, you know, you just, it's kind of hard to stop. So, no, don't worry. Let's open with prayer. Father, thanks for this morning, thanks for worship, and just a reminder again of who you are and who we are, made in your image, loved by you, precious to you, Lord. And I pray that all of us in this place this morning will taste and see that you are so good. Thanks, Lord. Speak to us now. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're in this series here at New Life called The Master's Hand. And this is a series in which we're looking at all the different ways God reveals himself to us in such a way that we can understand the depth and the breadth of his being. The rabbis used to say that the wonderful thing about God is that no matter how deeply you dive into his personhood, into his character, you can always dive deeper. Why? Because he's infinitely good, and he's infinitely relational. And this Sunday, we're looking at God the foodie. Now, I know what some of you are thinking right off the hop, right? You're thinking, I mean, I've heard of God the craftsman, I've heard of God the potter, but God the foodie, say what? And what's that all about? Well, my prayer is that by the end of this message, you're going to say, you know what? That actually fits. God is a foodie and a great one. In fact, again, our touchstone verse this morning is taste and see that the Lord is what? Is good, right? Do you believe that? I hope you do. I hope you do. But before we dive into that, let's have a little fun with food. Hopefully you got some watermelon on the way in. If you didn't, there's probably some left for the way out. There's going to be other food treats here this morning. So let's have a little fun with food, okay? So first of all, turn to the person beside you. You can talk in church. It's okay. What's your favorite food? Tell the person your favorite food. Go ahead. All right. I think I heard some burricoles. Yeah, it's kind of, what? So according to Master Google, all right, settle down, the most favorite food in North America is pizza. Pizza is number one. So how many of you love pizza? Is that your favorite? Okay, some hands there. So I guess Google's right. All right, second thing, turn to the person beside you and describe the flavor of mint without using the word mint. It's hard, isn't it? It's like, it's kind of minty. That's what mint is, isn't it? All right, final little piece of trivia fun. How many spider legs does the average chocolate bar have in it? This is true. I'm not making this up, okay? The answer is 8. 8. So next time you're chomping down on your favorite chocolate bar, let that come to mind, right? And you're hoping that it's a really small spider leg and not one of those, like, tarantula legs. But then again, that would make it extra crunchy, so you never know. By the way, chocolate activates more neurons in your tongue than any other food known to man. It's true. Some of you are like, duh, I knew that a long time ago, right? Love chocolate. So let's turn to the term foodie. Some of you are familiar with it. Others are not. I was surfing the internet this week, and I saw one person describe foodie as someone who enjoys eating food. And I thought, no, that's probably not a good definition, because I'm guessing everyone here enjoys eating food. In fact, you better enjoy eating food, at least on some level, or you will cease to exist fairly shortly. Let me give you a better definition. A foodie is someone who enjoys preparing and creating food such that it creates a blessing for those who eat the food they prepare, and in doing so, community is created. A foodie is someone who understands flavor and the blend of flavors and spices and cuts of meat and vegetables and fruit and what goes with what. They understand the raw material of food such that people who eat the food they prepare are left amazed at the capacity of food to create pleasure and company. Is that good? I think that's good. Yeah. And you need to know that food is a huge topic in the Bible. I mean, think about where the Bible starts, right? It starts in a garden. And God doesn't just plant one type of tree. There's just multiple types of trees. Look at this verse from Genesis 2. It says, "Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow to the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for what? For food." See, it all starts with food. You know, Sharon and I are living on a farm in Mission right now, and it's been wonderful this summer to discover all these fruit trees around the farm. And we've discovered blackberry bushes, apple trees, blueberry bushes, Saskatoon berries, cherry trees, raspberry bushes, pear trees. The list goes on. It's like living in the Garden of Eden. It really is. And there's so much more food in the Bible. Think about it. There's manna, right? That daily bread that falls from heaven that the children of Israel eat as they go through the desert, right, on the way to where? The land of milk and honey, right? And then there they celebrate all kinds of various feasts, all of which involve food, right? And then Jesus comes and multiplies bread and fish and tells stories about killing the fatted calf when lost sons and daughters are found and institutes the Lord's Supper, which we're going to celebrate later on this morning. And it all ends in the book of Revelation with Jesus saying, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever opens the door, I will come and what? Eat with them." Have you ever thought about that? Why does he say eat with them? It's not reason with them. It's not talk with them. It's not dialogue with them. It's eat with them. And I'm just scratching the surface, believe me. You see, in the Bible, food is a kind of a metaphor for what God is all about. And it's a metaphor that tells us also something about ourselves and how we're meant to relate to God. By the way, I consider myself a little bit of a foodie. I love making food. I'm a total nerd when it comes to YouTube channels. I spend way too much time watching cooking shows. But I understand that there is a great foodie here in New Life, and he is the man to my left. I hear serious dollars have been spent to get this guy to come and make some food. And so, Nathan, the foodie, you're making something good. It already smells kind of good.
Does it really? Oh, good. Excellent.
Yeah. Well, smell, you're cutting garlic, so I mean.
I'm just about to do the garlic and the ginger, and so that's going to, it's going to smell up my surroundings. I don't know about if it's going to smell up their surroundings, but okay. This is something that my son-in-law introduced to me, actually. It's an Indian street food called Pav Bhaji. And I mean, the power behind it, of course, is just this little container here full of bhaji spice.
That's got a little kick to it.
It does. And so we'll have samples afterwards. But yeah, it's got kick to it. So, you know, if you're scared of spice, you might just want to eat the bread that comes with it.
So. Okay. Wonderful. So hopefully, I'm hoping, that's part of why we're doing this, that this sort of wafts your direction as the sermon is being unfolded. And you know, this will be like a full experiential deal this morning. So what does food say about God? Well, let's look at this. Let's look at abundance and variety. Abundance and variety. Does anybody know how many flavors have been discovered? More than 10,000. 10,000 different flavors. Now think about it. God didn't have to do that. God could have made oatmeal, right? And that's the only thing that we eat. Oatmeal for every meal, every day. But God didn't do this. He creates this incredible variety of textures and tastes. We have two dogs at home, Juno and Peaches, and every day they get fed twice a day. And what do they eat? Well, they eat the same thing, dog food, right? It's this dog food that Janessa buys in bulk, of course, because, well, she's Dutch. And Juno and Peaches get exactly the same kind of food every day. By the way, here's a quick video of what it looks like. This is not them, but what it kind of looks like when it's feeding time around the farm. Have a look. Everything I understand, I don't have to do it away.
east and the west, breaking up on my...
It's crazy. It's crazy. Now, the thing is, same thing every day, but they never complain, right? There's never a sign on their dog food bowls that go, we're on a hunger strike. We have to eat the same crap every day. No, they just hungrily eat it, right? And they wolf it down. And on the rare occasion that someone takes pity on them and gives them a, you know, some bacon or a little bit of hot dog or something, they don't even take time to enjoy it, right? It's not like they go, oh my goodness, this is fine dining, darling. No, they just gulp it down like it's the same old dog food. You know, one of the signs of being wealthy, actually, is being blessed to eat a variety of different kinds of food, because there's a lot of people around the world that don't have that, right? Christine is here this morning, and she's originally from Zambia. Years ago, I went to Zambia, and I was introduced to shima, right? And I've got a picture of shima here. Okay, it's basically mashed corn, right? And now I'm throwing you under the bus a little bit, because I know people in Zambia love this stuff, but it is not like the most flavorful thing in the world, okay? But they eat it with every meal. They don't even consider it a meal if you don't have shima, right? As for us, we have a plethora of spices. How many of you have like a spice in your spice rack right now that you have no idea how to use, right? You don't even know what it tastes like. You're kind of afraid of it, right? Because you're like, well, if I add it to the food, it might destroy it, right? So we go through Superstore, right? And we're intrigued by, you ever walk through the international food thing? You're going, wow, look at all this food, right? But you don't dare buy any of it because you have no idea how to cook it, right? You're going, tortoise tongue. Is that like with gravy or without gravy, right? Who knows? Who knows, right? And then there's abundance. Think about this, abundance. How many of you have ever grown zucchini, right? Well, it grows like crazy in the summer months, right? And if you have some zucchini plants, you're calling up your friend saying, hey, you want some zucchini? And they say, well, I was just going to call you and see if you wanted some of my zucchini, because it's stacking up like firewood around here. And see, I don't care what you grow under the right conditions, it always ends up being too much, more than you can handle. There's always leftovers, right? A cherry tree doesn't produce three cherries. It produces an abundance of cherries. And you see, this says something wonderful about God. That God is an incredible provider. That we serve a generous God, right? Who doesn't just give us morsels, but who gives us a mountain of food. Listen to these words from Psalm 65. And this is about God. It says, the psalmist is talking to God, and he says, you care for the land and water it. You enrich it abundantly. The streams of God are filled with water to provide the people with grain, for so you have ordained it. You drench it with furrows and level its ridges. You soften it with showers and bless it with crops. You crown the year with your bounty, and your carts overflow with abundance. The grasslands of the wilderness overflow. The hills are clothed with gladness. The meadows are covered with flocks. And the valleys are mantled with grain. They shout for joy and sing. Isn't that good? That's our God, friends. He's the most generous, most hospitable being in the universe. And he wants to bless you. And he wants to bless you. It's a metaphor for how much God loves us. The bounty of his grace. So the next time you sense the abundance of the Lord, the next time you put something in your mouth and you think, oh, this is so delicious, this is so flavorful, just give thanks. Take some time to say, God, you are such a good God. You've made this world in such an incredible way. I stand in awe of you. By the way, if you can't see this, or you meet someone who just can't see this, it probably says something about your own heart rather than the heart of God. There's this incredible scene, if you're a C.S. Lewis fan, in the last book of the Narnia series, which is called The Last Battle. And in the story, the evil characters are these Narnian dwarfs. And they're dark and gloomy folks with sneering grins, and they just distrust the world. The basic issue that they have chosen is they've chosen to live in darkness. They're refusing to see the good around them, refusing to believe that Aslan can bring light into the world, so they live in misery and squalor, self-imposed darkness. And near the end of the story, the children, sort of the main characters in the story, they go out and they feel sorry for the dwarves, and Aslan appears, and they say to Aslan, "Aslan, can't you do something about these poor dwarves? Can't you bring them to their senses?" And so Aslan, he creates this incredible banquet, and it's set before these dwarves. But as they eat this bounty of food, they can't even taste it. One thinks he's eating hay. Another, an old rotten turnip. And in a moment, they're fighting and quarreling amongst themselves as usual. And Aslan turns to leave. And he leaves them in their misery. And Lucy begins to cry. "Can't you do something, Aslan?" And he says, "They will not let us help them. Their prison is their own minds. They are so afraid of being taken that they cannot be taken out." Think about that. When we close our eyes to the goodness of the Lord, when we begin to take life and breath and the fact that we get fed every day, the fact that God is so generous with us, when we begin to take that for granted, it's like a self-imposed darkness. And it colors the way in which we see the world. Have you ever met someone who has an abundance of almost everything in life? They have an abundance of money. They have abundance of family, but they're miserable people. They can't be taken out. They can't let the Lord's goodness lead them to the presence of God. Will you let God take you out this morning? To expand your mind to the awesomeness of his goodness and grace? I hope that you will. By the way, this is smelling really good.
You're starting to smell it?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. So I just...
Are you guys trying to smell it? A little garlicky over here?
Serious? Yeah?
Maybe we should just quit right now. And no, keep cooking. Keep
Let's
cooking.
Go, okay.
It's going to be good. Remember, you're going to get samples after the service. It's going to be amazing. All right, on to what food says about us. Let's talk about taste and preference. Now, not only is there an amazing variety of flavors and food out there, but we each have our own unique taste. I mean, you've probably noticed this, right? Tell the person beside you real quick a food that you absolutely loathe, you can't stand. Go ahead. Okay, just call out a few things. Mushrooms, liver. I'm with you, man. That's my worst. I can't stand the texture of liver. If you ever invite Sharon and I over for dinner, I'm only going to pretend I like liver. What? Beans? Tomato. Oh, wow. That's going to be tough on you with spaghetti. So anyway, we all have foods that we loathe, right? That we just don't like. But we also have foods that we love, right? Some of you here like hot and spicy food, like Nathan's going to serve today. I mean, when you get smoke coming out of your ears, you're happy as a clam. Some of you just like it mild, right? You go to a restaurant, how do you like it? Mild, right? Some of you prefer different types of meat over others, right? Some of you are like, steak, yes. Fish, no, right? Some of you like particular kinds of ethnic food, right? When I was growing up, my parents used to give us double zout, right? Anybody here? Double zout, it means double salt in English, and it's double salt licorice. We loved it. We couldn't get enough of it. But we gave it to our friends down the street who weren't Dutch in background, and they were like, "Yeah, this is awful. Licorice is supposed to be sweet, not salty," right? And think about this. Our tastes even change over the years. When I was, 20 years ago, I liked different things, right? Now, today, candy cake, I'm not such a huge fan, but pasta and bread, the words of Homer Simpson, right? Pregnant women, we probably have several of them here this morning. Your taste can change during your pregnancy, right? And their husbands this morning are going, yeah, tell me about it, you know. I'm glad Superstore is open late. And by the way, Haagen-Dazs cost a lot of money, right? Now, I don't know if you've thought about this, but I believe that the unique way in which we interact with food, the flavors that we prefer, is testimony to the fact that we are all uniquely created, and God invites us into a unique relationship with Him. When the Bible says, taste and see that the Lord is good, it doesn't mean that in a generic way. You know, it means you taste and see for yourself. And listen now, God is perfectly capable of interacting with different people who approach Him, who have a different kind of relationship with Him. You follow me? Like, I'm not called to have the same relationship that Billy Graham had with God. No, I'm called to have the relationship that Bruce Gritter is supposed to have with God. Nathan's relationship with God is unique, just as his flavor palette is unique. You know, years ago, I had a friend of mine who came to me, and they were very distraught. They said, you know, I'm really struggling with daily devotions. Other people talk about spending hours in God's Word and praying in all circumstances, and I just struggle. I can't get off the ground. And they felt so tremendously guilty about that. So I asked this person, I said, what activities help you feel close to God? And right away, they said, music. I love music. I love worship music even. And I said, well, start there. Instead of trying to read the Bible and pray every day, put some worship music on in the morning and relate to God that way, right? And that worship music, if it's good, I mean, it's often good worship music is very scriptural, right? It might even lead you into the Bible a little bit. And then, you know, talk to God through the songs, right? Speak to God. Relate to God in that way. Some of you relate to God best through nature, right? You just love being in the trees and the forests, and you bond with God in those moments, right? He's talking to you. I mean, some of you feel closest to God when you serve others, right? So if that's you, then serve. You know, get involved in some of the serve activities, because that draws you into that unique relationship God wants to have with you. Some of you feel closest to God when you're making stuff, right? Maybe it's artwork or craftsmanship. So create, right? And in and through that, you know, remember how God fashioned you in such a unique and amazing way. You taste and see that the Lord is good. But remember, you have to decide to taste, right? There's a lot of people that, you know, they just can't find traction in their spiritual life because, if the truth be told, they're not tasting anymore. They're not hungry for the Lord. Let's talk about the final thing this morning that I want you to understand about food and how this can draw us to the Lord. And it's this word. It's satisfaction. Satisfaction. I'm guessing that everyone in this room has had the experience, the sensation of being satisfied by food, right? Like I'm full. My brother, who's also here this morning, they took us out for a Greek meal last night, and oh, it was just great. Roast lamb with spices and stuff, and by the end, I was like, oh, that was so good, but I am so full, right? It was like nap time after that. I mean, all of us have had that, right? Where there's good food, good drink, a dessert that, let's be honest, you didn't deserve or even really need. And you get to do it with people that you love. And it leads to that feeling of being content, right? At ease, happy, peaceful. But unfortunately, it never lasts, right? Because we digest food, and then the next morning, we're hungry again. We're hungry again. But I want you to understand that there's a real connection, I believe, with physical food and soul food, right? Between what we feel when we're fully satisfied with physical food and what our soul craves. Now, you might be asking this morning, what is soul food? What is that? Well, it's that which feeds our soul. Our inner being. In case you didn't know this morning, you have a soul, and it's the most important part of you. It's that which will live on when your physical body fades away. It's the real you, so to speak. Deep down inside each one of us, God has created a living soul. And guess what? That soul gets hungry. As much as your physical body gets hungry, that soul is hungry as well. That part of you, it feeds, so needs to feed. But what it needs to feed on is not physical food, but things like love and joy and peace and hope. There's some of you here this morning that you got fed this morning. You pushed yourself back from the table. Your stomach was full, but your soul was empty. Because if the truth be told, you were living in fear, or you were living in despair, or you were living with a sense of not being loved, right? And that hunger is even more profound, even more deep than your physical hunger. Well, I'm here this morning to tell you that God wants to meet those deepest needs inside you. Listen to these words. And this is God speaking directly to you this morning. And he's talking in this passage not about physical food, but spiritual food. This is from Isaiah 55. It says, Come all you who are thirsty. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on that which is not bread? And your labor on that which does not satisfy. Listen to me. Eat what is good. And God is saying, eat the goodness. My goodness, right? And you will delight in the richest affair. This morning, God wants to offer you some spiritual food. Not because you deserve it, but only because of the grace that is offered, that was given to us so profoundly when Jesus gave his life on the cross. At that moment, the floodgates of God's grace, the bounty of God's grace was opened up to the whole world, was opened up to you. Now that spiritual hunger inside of every single human heart can be filled. So if there's that vacuum of love in you, in God, you can receive a love that will satisfy that. If this morning you got up in fear because you're thinking forest fires, smoke, global warming, pandemic, you know, God says, wants to say to you this morning, speak to your soul and say, peace, peace. I know the world looks like a scary place sometimes, but never forget, underneath everything are my everlasting arms, and I got you. Peace, my son. Peace, my child. And the list goes on. Joy, peace, hope. What is your heart hungering for this morning? You see, that's what this supper that we are going to celebrate this morning is all about. It's physical bread. But it's meant to stand for the broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which meets our deepest spiritual needs. It's juice that you will drink in the cup, physical juice, but it's meant to remind us that Jesus came, he shed his blood for us so that we would never, never find ourselves out of the grip of God's goodness. So this morning we want to partake in that way, and I'm going to prepare the elements in just a little bit. But one last thing that I want to share with you, because there's one other thing that this meal points us towards. You see, this meal is a foretaste of the great banquet to come. This whole crazy story of human history, all the ups and downs, all the ins and outs, all the pain, all the suffering, all the joy, everything, the whole story, it all ends up at a banquet table to which you're invited. And on that day, a great banquet will be spread. And people from every tribe and tongue and nation will gather in that place. They will sit on that banquet table. And they will eat the most delicious of fare. And Jesus, the one who has conquered, will stand in the middle of the feast. He'll raise a wine glass. And he'll say, "Oh, my friends, how long I have longed to share this meal with you. This morning we come and we taste and see that the Lord is good." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning, the reminder of your goodness and the bounty of your grace. And now we get to taste. Now we get to physically get up out of our seats, to come to the table, gather with others, and to let, as we eat the bread and drink the wine, we remind ourselves how you poured out your life so that all we would ever know is the beauty of your love. Thank you, Lord. Remind us of that this morning as we come. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So just a few housekeeping items as we come to the communion table this morning. At this moment, we're going to have our friends online. They're going to switch to an online version of what we're doing here so that they can virtually participate in the Lord's Supper. May the Lord bless you as you do that. We also want to just say a word or two about the communion table as we partake of it this morning. Here at New Life, we have an open communion table. Parents, we want you to bring your children up into the circle with you because at a family feast, everybody's family, they're all invited, right? And but you are their primary disciples, okay? That's what the Bible says. So if in your judgment you want them to participate, great. If you feel like maybe they're not of an age where they understand or they need a little bit more discipleship, that's fine. Please bring them up still so that we can put our hands on them and bless them and they can feel like they're a part of things as well. And we're going to do this in groups. There's six stations. We haven't done this for a while, but we're going to come up in groups of, say, 12 or 14, and then we're going to have the elements given to you with some words about the goodness of the Lord. Taste and see that the Lord is good, and then the leader at the table will invite you then to participate and take the bread and take the juice. And then if there's still others to serve, we'll go to the next group. We've got a couple songs that we're going to sing during this time. And just feel free to sing and make this a time of worship. Just make this a time of receiving from the Lord, of worshiping the Lord, of experiencing His goodness and His grace. Last thing, we want to just encourage you that this meal is for people who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, right? We want to make sure that you don't just approach this casually, all right? So discern the table is what the Bible says. But at the same time, I want to say this to you. Even if you're here for the first time, if you know deep in your heart that you need the Lord Jesus in your life, that that's what you're hungering for, that that's what you need, that maybe this is an opportunity today for you to say yes. Say, "I want to receive it. I want that grace. My heart is hungry. I know I need to be fed this morning." You know, some people think that this meal is for perfect people. Let me tell you right now, if you're a perfect person in this room this morning, you don't need this meal. This is for people who are broken and who understand that they need Jesus, and they need what Jesus is offering, the spiritual food that He provides. So come, approach the table, and I'm going to prepare the elements now. On the night in which He was betrayed, Jesus took bread just like this, and He broke it, and He gave it to His disciples, saying, "This is My body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." In a similar way, after supper, he took a cup, just like this. He poured some wine into it. In this case, it's juice. And he gave it to his disciples, and he said, This is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it, remember me and my grace. Come, the table is ready.
Welcome to this celebration of the Lord's Supper. While the rest of the congregation in the auditorium is taking part of the elements in this celebration, I invite you to gather your bread and your juice, and we are going to celebrate here together. And so take the bread, and as you eat it, remember and believe that the body of our Lord Jesus Christ was given for the forgiveness of all your sins. And then take the juice. Jesus poured out his blood so that you could have life and life forevermore. So take it, drink this juice. Remember and believe that Jesus poured out his blood for the forgiveness of all your sins to redeem you into a brand new life. We now rejoin the live stream of the worship service, and you may have to wait for some of the other groups to finish up, and then we will resume our worship together.
Is it?
He washed in white as snow. He washed.
Just a few things before I bless you. Remember, there's some food afterwards. That should be fun to be able to share some food. So stick around, enjoy some watermelon or some of the street food. Challenge your taste buds with a little bit of spice. That'll kind of get, kind of think of it as an appetizer for lunch. After this blessing that we're going to do, we are going to sing the doxology, the old doxology. And we're going to sing it a cappella, okay? And so Janessa's going to give you, or Fred's going to give you a note, and we're all going to sing the doxology, and it'll appear on the screen, but if you know the parts, sing in parts, because it's always so beautiful to hear just voices singing that great old doxology. Now, this morning, we've received from the Lord so much, haven't we? So why don't we, instead of receiving another blessing from the Lord, why don't we bless the Lord, okay? You can do that. It's a biblical thing. So here's how you do it, and you don't have to if you're not comfortable, but if you're comfortable, raise your hands like this. We're going to speak a blessing to the Lord. Oh God, you are so good to us. Every day you feed us. Every day your love and your mercy is new. We stand in awe of your goodness and your grace. Help us. Help us to become grateful people who live in the light of your mercy and extend that mercy and grace to everybody that we meet. We bless you, O Father. We thank you, O Father. You are so good to us. You are so, so good to us. We say in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen.
Praise God from
some food.